go through our worship and we sing out and listening to the hymns that we sing, and as we just got done singing to praise our Lord, what a name he has been given, and it's just wonderful to be able to strive our best to follow in his footsteps. It's good to see everybody here. It's just wonderful. We got visitors with us this morning. We have Judy back. We have some that have been away traveling, and so it's good to be up here, be able to look out, see everybody, and see a lot of the pews filled up. And so just always encouraging when that is the case. And just like before worship started, I went over to Ron. It's like, I counted and I recounted. I'm pretty sure we're good on communion, but just in case anyone comes in and I can't see it, be ready to grab a couple extra. But it's just always wonderful. As we went through our Bible class this morning, I didn't plan on using this, it's just how class went this morning. As we got talked and stuck on the point of the grumbling and disputing, and talked about how hard it is sometimes to overcome that, to change, especially if you get caught up in a certain way, in a certain path, and this is something that you've learned from those who you were raised by, and that's something you've done all your life. And in many other circumstances, other situations, that we might get caught in saying, well, I just can't change. I just can't stop. I can't change it. I can't do the opposite. It's just, it's in my blood. It's in my DNA. It's who I am. Something we might say, especially when it comes to sin, certain things in our life, that we just get caught up in saying that we cannot change. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is open up the Bible and see that it has the power to change. The power to change. The power to transform, as we might read in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 2 there, where it tells us to no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind to the will of God. And so we have to be willing to change because God commands it from us. He demands that we be changed, that we transform ourselves into the image of Christ, that we put on Christ. As again, we're studying Philippians, and Paul writes to them, he brings out to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so we continue to live and shine forth his light in this world. And so I don't have a lot of points, just a couple points to make this morning, and I know there's more that you could probably think could be applied to the lesson. But there's so many scriptures that we can look at as we look at the letters that were written to the churches, and we see what kind of state that these people were in at one point, and then bring out where they are at the point that Paul or others wrote to them. We'll see that they had to change. That they went from living in a life in sin and a life of the old path and going down the wrong road to turning and getting on that narrow path that leads to life, that leads to heaven. And so they had to change. And a lot of things that we'll read about, you might sit there and say, well, that's something I once was caught up in. Or something that maybe you are caught up in at the time and point that you are struggling to overcome. But then you'll see that they changed, which should give you the hope that you can change also. It shows us what the Word of God can do for us. That we can, through Christ, be changed. That we do not have to continue to walk down a path of sin. So if you start with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and reading here in verse 21, it says, "And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him." And so as you read these two verses here, it brings out, you who once was doing evil deeds. You who once was alienated from the Lord. You who continued down in a path of sin. But understand when it says you once, those who in the past, this is what they used to do. This is their past. Then it brings out what they are now, right? As you read verse 22, you have been reconciled in his body and flesh in order to present what? To present you holy and blameless. We haven't got to that part in Philippians where we are in our class yet. We got caught up in our discussion today. We're about to get there, though, that it comes out to the point. It'll be in our next question. So if you're taking notes, here you go.
It brings out the point of being blameless. Again, just like it does here.
But often when I think about blameless, we will turn to Timothy and we'll talk about elders.
We'll read there and read that an elder must be blameless. And so therefore we start to try to say that this person is going to have such high standards. He's going to have to be nearly perfect. And that he's going to have to walk without sinning.
Brothers and sisters, in Philippians and right here, it's just talking to the church. It's not specifying to the elders.
That it's something that we all should be doing. And so you're going from a point of someone who is caught up in evil doings to now that they are blameless. Again, that does not mean that they never sinned. It brings out they already have. It doesn't mean that they'll never ever sin again. But they have been changed.
Staying here in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 again in verse 5. Colossians 3 and reading in verse 5. It says, "Put to death therefore what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." Again, so here it brings out that you have the old path that you were in, the old life that you used to walk, but you are no longer doing that. So you might read through these and see whether or not these are things that you are struggling with or that you have struggled with yourself, and see that you can change. Because brethren here in Colossians change themselves. As Paul is writing to them again, that they used to walk these things. You once walked when you were living in them. Especially that second part there in verse 8 as we talk about anger. How often do we get angry? We talked about, you know, grumbling, and sometimes that comes along with anger. If we talk about continuing down it or slandering others and with what we say or lying. Or you go back up to verse 5 with sexual morality and impurity, passion, evil desires. You get caught up and saying, well, can I be forgiven? Can I be changed? Can I walk in a new path? Time and example through the Word of God shows us yes. Yes, we can. We can be changed. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, and starting here in verse 1. In Ephesians 2, and reading in verse 1, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." Again, hear that? They're dead in sin. Because the wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But in verse 2 it says, "In which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of power of air, the spirit that is now at work, the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in." Again, here bringing out the point that no one has escaped this at one point or another. We have all went down this bad path. We've all sinned. We've all done something. We all once walked it. The passions of our flesh, carrying out desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which He loved us, and even we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace and you have been saved, and raised up with Him in the seat with Him, the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Again, bringing out the things that we all once walked. We walked in sin. We were caught up in doing wrong things. Here telling us that we are following the path that Satan has set. But now have been changed. Now having been raised up. When we choose to obey the gospel, and you choose to get baptized, immersed, through your faith, reaching the blood of Christ. Through your faith, putting to death the old person as
Christ died for us, being raised up, resurrected as Christ was resurrected, a new person to walk in the footsteps of Christ. We can be changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and reading here in verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers, nor will inherit the kingdom of God." Here it brings out a list of these things. Such will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 11, this is where he really lays it on them, right? He says, "And such were some of you." He doesn't get caught up in pointing, when, you know, you might be reading this and be like, "That's so-and-so, and that's them over there. That's my neighbors over here, and, you know, that's them over there at work." But he says, "And such were you. You used to be a sexual immorality. You used to worship idolatry. You used to be coveting other people's stuff. You were caught up in these sins. But there's hope." He doesn't just hold on that. It says, "But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." They were changed. And so he's trying to help them change that mind, continue in that transformation. This is the church in Corinth. They're caught up in some worldly mindset still. They're still dealing with sexual moral things going on there in their congregation. And at the beginning of this letter here, we know that they were caught up in putting their faith in the flesh and saying, "I'm of Apollos, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas," and claiming instead of just having the mindset to follow Christ. There were still things that they had to learn, continue in, to grow in. But he's trying to remind them, you guys no longer walk in flesh. So stop thinking fleshly. Think spiritually. And we can be changed. Whatever sin it is, we can be forgiven. And we can have a new mind through the Word of God. Again, we look at the Apostle Paul himself as an example. In Acts chapter 7, we see some of the things that Paul was caught up in as Stephen was being stoned to death. Here in verse 58 of Acts 7, it says, "Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their garments at the feet of the young man named Saul." You go to chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on the day of a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." This is the stuff that Paul was caught up in. This was his past. He was there when men were stoned. He gave the permission. He encouraged them to go continue to do it. He was part of the persecution that made the brethren spread out. You come here to Acts chapter 9. You read in verse 1, it says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogue at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." This is what Paul was caught up in. We know how Paul continued through Acts chapter 9 as the Lord appeared to him. He was blinded and had to wait. And then as he received his sight back, he ends up getting baptized. And then he goes forth and starts spreading the word of God to the point that he was now the one that they were threatening to kill, and he had to flee. And then he had to prove himself before the apostles because men didn't believe him, and Barnabas had to stand up for him. And then he went around and he was willing to be stoned and left for dead. He was willing to be shipwrecked and starving in the name of the Lord. How Paul changed. And we want to sit back, and so many today want to say, "I can't change. I can't overcome this sin. I can't change my mind. The Bible tells us different. It gives us example time and again, showing us that we can change whatever sin it may be that you are struggling with. If you would take it to the Lord in prayer, if you would open up your Bibles and study what you need to do, if you would come to your brethren, as we read in James, to confess your trespasses to one another so that we can pray with you, so that we can study with you, and we can all help each other to grow closer to God. We need to understand that we can change through what God has blessed us with His Word. You turn along with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. As it reads here, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." The Word of God is living. And it can pierce the soul. It can reach the hearts of the brethren. It can reach the hearts of those who you might sit there and say, there's no point of inviting them to church. How many people probably said that about Paul? How many people said that about all the people in Corinth? Again, looking at what this people in that area was caught up in. We read there in 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 and 10 and read about the stuff that they were caught up in. How many people pointed their fingers at them saying, look how sexually immoral they are. Look how much they lie and swear and everything that they're caught up in. They'll never change. The Word of God can change you. The Word of God can help you overcome whatever struggles you are dealing with. It is there to do exactly that. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, as we are walking in darkness without the Word of God, as we go down a path of darkness, a path that is broad and easy, so you don't need a lot of light, right? Because you can just walk wherever and you're not going to fall off the path because it's so easy to go down. It's been paved. It's smooth. It is easy. Even if it is dark. The Word of God is a light for us. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And we need that lamp. We need that light because the way that leads to life is narrow and it is difficult. But guess what? It can shine for you how to find that narrow path, how to get off the broad path and find that difficult path that leads to heaven instead of following that path that goes down to destruction. That's what the Word of God can do for us. It can shine into our hearts and into our minds, and we will see what is sin and know how to cast it off. We will see what is righteousness and how to apply it and how to put on the armor of God to protect us and to guard our hearts. That's what the Word of God can do for us. That's why we need to open up our Bibles and study it. As we often go to Romans 10, verse 17, that through the Word of God, we can gain our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Through the Word, through the Bible that God has blessed us, you can gain a faith that will be strong enough to help you change, that will help you to rely on God and believe that you can do all things through Christ. Just as Paul makes that statement in Philippians 4 and verse 13, that he learned to be content in all situations. That he can overcome all the temptations that came along with being shipwrecked, with being stoned, with being left for dead. That he was able to be satisfied and content, knowing that he has a home in heaven, knowing that he is suffering in the name of the Lord, that he is continuing his service in God. The Bible is so strong. It has the power because it's given to us by God. So
So let us open up our Bibles and study and search the Scriptures to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us of our hope, why it is we no longer walk in the path of sin. Let us use the Bible to help change the hearts of others. We sit and wonder, what can we do? What can I do to help somebody see? It's going to be through the Word of God. That's where we have to get them to. Let's see what the Scriptures have to say. So we don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. So we let you know what the Word of God tells you you must do. You must, as we brought out here, the Word of God, to gain that faith. Because one has to believe. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We must believe that He is. Then you have to be willing to act upon that faith. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. You have to be willing to confess your faith, to stand and walk in the path that Christ has set for us. And be baptized, washing your sins away. And so if you desire to do that, you understand that's what the Bible has told you to do. You're ready to be transformed. You're ready to become a child of God. Because that's where it leads us to. To no longer being a child of Satan, continue down his path, but becoming a child of God and being an heir with Christ. We want to help you in any way that we can. So if you need the prayers of congregation, or you desire to obey the doctor, you will. Let me know as we stand.
Couple of times, Billy Benson.